one heartbeat away. That's what you are. Our heart beats about 100,000 times a day. One beat will be our last. What about you? Joining us now to discuss a very vivid, a very truthful book about your journey into eternity is the author, Mark Cahill. His first book, and I loved it, it was entitled, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. What an icebreaker when you're on the bus, when you're at the football, the basketball game, the baseball game, you're at the grocery store standing in line, looks at you. Just ask them, what one thing can't you do in heaven? And see what they say. But his great book now is over 60,000 in print, about to print 40,000 more. One Heartbeat Away, Your Journey into Eternity. Evangelist Mark Cahill joins us now. Mark Cahill, welcome to the Watch Out program.
Terry, thank you so much for having me back on. I really appreciate it. I want to say hey to all your listeners. And one thing I always tell people all the time is use your time very wisely, because one, it's very precious. Two, you're running out of it. And three, the person you need to chat with is running out of it also.
We all, it's 10 out of 10, have that last heartbeat, don't we?
100% of all people you chat with are going to die. I walked on a plane the other day. There was a lawyer sitting there. He was reading my book, One Heartbeat Away. I'd given it to him in the airport. I'm walking on the plane. He looks at me and says, Mark, don't forget. He said, 10 out of 10 people are going to die. And I totally forgot I wrote that up front in the book. And by the time we got off the plane in the next city, he was waiting on me. He said, Mark, let me tell you something. I'm a lawyer. He said, you need good evidence to prove your case, or you don't take certain cases. He said, I'm loving the evidence in this book, because just the title, just the 10 out of 10, he knew he's part of that group. The question is, where's he going?
Where's he going? Where's he going? Well, the other day, I was at a restaurant, a Sweet Tomato. I was there at lunch one day, and Mark, the place was packed, and this was like at 12:30. And I thought, man, I should have bought a Sweet Tomato franchise and opened a Sweet Tomato franchise restaurant, because this place is absolutely just busting with money, you know, all these people in there. And then God said, well, I wonder how many are going to heaven. And D. James Kennedy often says that 80% of all Americans sitting on a pew on any given Sunday don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Did you know he uses that statistic?
I haven't heard that statistic, but considering how many people tell me they're good enough to go to heaven and then tell me they go to church and were born again years ago or said some prayer and walked down some aisle X amount of times, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, even Billy Graham's organization, you know, that they worry sometimes about the sermon, you know, come, all you that are heavy laden, and come and find rest. Hey, ye that don't know the Lord, come up here. And then when they get up there, there's someone there that asks them to repeat a few words. And then they shove some scriptures in their pocket, and the scriptures basically say, don't let anyone deny you or tell you that you are not born again, and da-da-da-da-da-da. But they go home. They don't hook up with a church. They don't fellowship with a body of believers. They don't change. They don't do anything.
Man, because we have walked away from true biblical teaching, Terry, and you know that, especially here in America. We won't preach sin and righteousness and judgment to come and holiness and count the cost. I counted the cost before I bought a car. Why wouldn't I count the cost before I committed my life to Jesus Christ, which is the most important decision anyone ever make? And I always tell people, make sure you get them lost before you get them saved. Everybody's trying to get everybody saved. They don't even know they're lost yet. Spurgeon said this. He didn't do altar calls. And the reason he didn't do altar calls was because if you preach it correctly, the altar is still hot on Monday. But the Spirit of God be working so hard on their hearts that they're going to drop to their knees and come to Jesus Christ. We need to get back some good old-time preaching like they did back in Bible times.
Oh, I think we need to just have T-shirts and bottled water. And we're going to digress here. Well, Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort wrote a book about leading your children to the Lord. And in that little book, they state that, you know, the couple volunteers, because nobody else will, to teach the little, you know, grade school class at church. So they go in and they're all fired up to teach, and they ask, who all wants to go to hell? And little Johnny goes, well, teacher, what's hell? Well, it's a place of fire and brimstone and pain and worms eat you all day long. And little Johnny goes, well, I don't want to go there. And so Miss Teacher goes, do you want to go to heaven? Well, you know, little Sally goes, well, what's heaven like? And she says, oh, it's paradise, and there's no tears and no pain and candy every day and ice cream for supper every night, or whatever they say about the glorious, wonderful presence of being in God's presence for eternity. And so they again ask the question, who wants to go to hell? And no little kid raises their hand, not even the boy, not even the cut up. But then they go, who all wants to go to heaven? Oh, every arm in the class goes up. So they get down on their knees and they pray a little simple prayer, and then they get up from there, and the teachers say, don't let anyone ever tell you that you're not saved. Here are the scriptures that show that you are saved. They go get dunked in the baptistry. But when you ask them, what did you commit to back when you were 6 or 7 or 8 years old? They don't have a clue. Is that what you're talking about? Because Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort said the same thing. If you don't know you're lost, you cannot be saved.
I was just at a church. Where was I at? Somewhere. And this lady told me that her 6 or 7 year old son there had just received and accepted Jesus into his heart as personal Savior. It's funny how none of those words really show up in the Bible. So I was talking with the young man. I said, hey, by the way, why did you accept Jesus into your heart? Why did you do that? He just started giggling and laughing and giggling and laughing. I said, no, really. I said, why did you become born again? Why did you want to do that? He started giggling and laughing and that kid was so far from being saved, it wasn't even funny. But see, I think what we're trying to do is we want to feel good because we think when they repeat some prayer that if something happened to him, they'd be in heaven. Well, where did we ever get that anyways? Read our scriptures one more time. How many kids do you see getting saved and born again in the Bible? I don't know if you can find one, to be honest with you. I just think if we preach the word, get them studying scripture, learning what God's word is all about, getting out there and working at homeless shelters and doing what the scripture, and then watch the Spirit of God draw them. See, what we're really trying to do is take the Holy Spirit out of the equation. He is the equation. We plant seeds, we water seeds, and we watch the Almighty God of the universe give increase. And that's what we got to get back to.
Plant, water, and reap. Too many, and I'm the same way. You know, I missed out. You know, I must have fallen off the turnip truck on the way to the study of the way of the Master and evangelism explosion and so forth. You know, I was too busy with soccer and working. And but if I had to sit down and lead somebody to the Lord, the best thing that I can do is just tell them how, as a young man in college, I was needing a summer job. A guy knocked on my door, my dorm room one night, looking for my roommate. I thought he was a narc. He had a redneck haircut, a blue blazer, coat and tie, and he was asking for my roommate, and I just said, sir, I don't know Gary Bradley, but if I did, why are you looking for him? And the young man said, well, I met him at the student union, offered him a summer job. He said, come by tonight, this room, to sign him up. Is Gary Bradley not here? And I looked at that man, and I said, if my roommate is dumb enough not to be here, let me tell you something. I promise you, whatever he said he could do, I can do better, and I'll take that job. Long story short, I signed the papers, and I committed to this young man, sight unseen, not knowing what it was, that whatever it was, whatever my roommate said he could do, I had already said I could do it better, and I would do it to the best of my ability for 10 weeks. I told him I could stand on my head in the corner for 10 weeks, selling Bibles door to door. I went out my first summer, made a lot of money. Went out my second summer with my bride, and it made a lot of money. Our first child was born in Indiana. Went out my third summer, knocked on a preacher's door, and he sold me Jesus Christ instead of me selling him a Bible. And I've never been the same.
Wow.
But when I share that testimony with somebody, they can understand that. Do many people fear witnessing because they don't know how? They just don't know. The best thing is just to say what God did for them?
Well, I tell you, Terry, I guess it would probably go back to the D. James Kennedy statistic. If 80% of the people sitting on the pews aren't saved, then we're trying to tell people to go share their faith that aren't even born again yet. And that's got to be the oddest thing in the world for them to ever even think about doing that, because the flesh is still in control and not the spirit in control. And Ray Comfort told me one time, he's just a great man of God, and he said he thinks the greatest testimony of the Spirit of God working in someone's life is their heart for the lost and reaching the lost. Because he told me, he said, your flesh, nothing in your flesh says, let's go witness. Your flesh says, let's go party. Let's go sell Bibles and make a lot of money. Let's go play soccer. That's what your flesh says.
Oh, yeah.
Your spirit says, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there's a world on a wide path leading towards destruction, and it is my job, just like God said in Ezekiel 33, to take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I must set up a battleship at the gates of hell and prevent anybody from going there. And he said, if you don't want to do that as a believer, I would check real quick if you are one.
Well, in your intro of One Heartbeat Away, you tell the story of asking three questions. The first question that you like to ask people is, what is most important to you in this lifetime? You know, our church just participated in the Tomball Night. In Texas, the politicians passed a law, a certain weekend before school starts, it's tax-free weekend. That way the poor could go down to Kmart or Walmart or Dillard's, and now they have it, any item that costs less than $100, because they were buying all the $200, $250 sneakers. You know, so they amended it and say anything less than $100 is tax free. So you get your school supplies, you can get your clothes, your tennis shoes, your blue jeans, your skirts or whatever, tax free. So you save in Texas about 8.25%. Oh, not quite 10%. But we participate in the Tomball Night where everybody comes out and they're walking around looking, whatever. We gave away free popcorn, but it had the Roman road, the laws of Roman road on the bag. And I thought, no lost person's going to read that, are they? They want to read something like, what is most important in your lifetime? And the point, I guess, in this question, Mark, is that do we, as the salesman of Jesus Christ, and that's what we are, you know, we're trying to share the gospel. Do we have to not conform to this world and wear the blouses up to your above your belly buttons and short shorts or whatever and talk and walk and act like the world? But must we modify our, are you born again? And that is that why you ask the question, what is most important to you in this lifetime?
Yeah, definitely. Even Ray Comfort will tell you that, Terry, that if you start with Jesus, if you start with born again, it's like a searchlight right in their eyes. It's just too strong for people. So what I do with questions is to get you thinking, hey, do you ever think about what's out there when you die? I had a guy at the airport the other day. He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, why do you think about it? He said, because my dad died 2 weeks ago. I said,
ooh.
Okay. I said, what conclusion have you come to? He said, I'm not really sure. We talked for 20 minutes, gave him the book One Heartbeat Away. I said, sir, I need to tell you something. I said, I prayed that I would meet the right people in this airport to talk with before I made it on my flight. And I said, sir, there is without a doubt you and I were supposed to talk today. He said, well, let me tell you something. I said, what? He said, my flight just got canceled. The man wasn't supposed to be in the airport, but the point was the man was supposed to be in the airport. And God can cancel planes for those conversations. He's already contacted me. Email me, tell him how much that book has helped him. He's already passed it on to his sisters who are struggling. And the thing I always tell Terry, this is, it's a great thing for you people to learn. I just wrote an article for Answers in Genesis, and this was the title of the article. Witnessing is not a presentation, it's a conversation.
Yes.
Witnessing is not a presentation, it's a conversation. You ask questions and they can ask questions too. It's a two-way street. That's what you see Jesus doing with the woman at the well. You see him doing it with the rich young ruler. You see Paul talking with King Agrippa. King Agrippa, you know this is true. This wasn't done. You know what the prophet said. This wasn't done behind closed doors. Conversations draw him right into that, to the truth. You're going to end up sharing them about Jesus Christ a little bit farther into that conversation.
Now, you also write in your first chapter about how you witnessed a rainbow. And didn't you pray, Lord, help me use that rainbow to talk about you?
Definitely. I will use anything around me to get into conversations. And I think that story, I can't exactly remember, but I think that one actually happened at a gay and lesbian festival. And this rainbow popped up out of nowhere, and people started pointing to it. And then the person on stage at the festival pointed and said, see, look up in the sky. If any of you needed a stamp of approval, who we are is okay. There it is, right there in the sky. Like God sent them a rainbow just to let them know, hey, you're doing okay. Forgetting it was a sign of judgment, that he had judged the world by water and he wouldn't do it anymore. All right, so we just use that to get into conversations. People like that. This year at the Gay and Lesbian Festival in Atlanta, Friday night, the whole stage blew down to the ground through this wind burst. Thank God nobody was hurt. And then on Sunday, I think God got so sick of the sin, there were thunders. and lightning and powerful rain during their big parade on Sunday to mock Christianity. Literally, 30 minutes into it, they had to cancel the whole day because of it. Read Revelations 4, before the throne of God, you have thunder, light, rainbow. I think God was trying to show them one more time who he is, but one more time, many people didn't want who he was, who he is, and who he's going to be for all of eternity.
Well, doesn't God in his word say that he doesn't want one to perish? Not one?
Oh, he desires all to be saved. The question is, do we desire all to be saved? Are we just rushing through life with our soccer and our gas stations and our ministries and our jobs, and we're passing people? There's all these hurting people that are through here. My upstairs neighbor, Jason, I've been chatting with him numerous times. He had a tire that was flat, so we were out there helping him out. And I said, Father, I don't care about this flat tire. I want to get in a conversation with Jason again. Also, he looks and says, Mark, I need to ask you a question. I said, all right. He said, for three straight nights, I've had the same dream. And in the dream, there's this long line of people, and I can look way forward, and people are moving to the right and moving to the left at the front of the line. And I know that says something to do with eternity, but I can't figure out. Can you explain to me what this is about? Oh, my goodness. I mean, come on. He's getting this judgment day scenario of what does it take to go to the right? What do you have to do to keep going to the left, you know? We had this fascinating talk, but then I told him in the scriptures, when a dream shows up twice, it is confirmation from the Lord. It is going to happen. I said, Jason, you've had it three times. You can be rest assured. Judgment day is coming. The question is, are you right? So that's what we have to be about, looking at not people, but souls around us, and where will they spend eternity?
Friends, our guest is evangelist Mark Cahill. His first book, entitled One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, was a great. It had over 100,000 in print. His current book, One Heartbeat Away, Your Journey into Eternity, is about sold out of 60,000 in the first print. They're about ready to print 40,000 more. If you just joined in, we started the interview, and I was sharing with Mark how I was at a Sweet Tomato the other day. It was packed at lunch. Mark, to finish that story, I started asking God, I wonder how many here are not saved. I wonder how many here, if the roof caved in, if it was their last heartbeat, where would they wake up on the other side of that last heartbeat? And then it brought to mind what D. James Kennedy said, 80% in a given church. Now, it may not be your church, it may not be my church, but if you take all churches, Catholic and Methodist and Episcopalian, and I guess you got to throw in the Mormon and the Jehovah's Witness, all churches in America on a given Sunday, 80% under those roofs, if they died right then, they would end up in hell for eternity. I pray, God, show me. And then I saw your book back on my bookcase, because I had not done the book review on it yet. And I wanted to get with you. I had my assistant, Crystal, get a hold of you. Mark, are you focused as your life mission on not only sharing the gospel with everybody you can, you know, the guy changing the tire, you know, at the gay and lesbian festival, you're in a home and trick-or-treaters come by, you are at the airport and you just share it with somebody, you use such great lead-in questions. And that's what I like about your great book, One Heartbeat Away, is that you give me so many ideas on how to share the gospel. Do we need that nudge from a God-filled, Spirit-filled individual like you to teach us those opening questions, those little life nuggets to help us share that good news?
Let me tell you something, Terry. If we would just read our Bibles and obey what we've read, we'd be okay right there. I almost wish we didn't have Christian books out here. I mean, I really do. We got so many people who read Christian books anymore but don't even read their Bibles. One of the best compliments I get on both of these books is that they're just chock full of Scripture. And what we did in One Heartbeat Away, since we geared it to lost people, we did things like, could you prove there was a God? You know, could you prove the Bible true? All the questions you get from lost people, it's like a big track. Can you prove the afterlife? We have a chapter called The Flames with all these near-death experience stories, what the Bible says about it, good ones and bad ones. People saw lakes of fire, stuff like that. Right through the Ten Commandments. My brother just told me the other day, Terry, lost as all get out. He said, Mark, I read your new book. I read that chapter on the Ten Commandments. I knew without a doubt at that moment I was dying and going to hell. And I looked at my brother in a car. I said, Mike, aren't you glad I didn't stop the book at that point? He said, oh, I'm glad you didn't stop at him, because we take you right to the cross. Now, he's not ready to get born again yet, but he's at least thinking about it when he wasn't before. Terry, we have literally had people read this book. We've had atheists read this book, become born again. Agnostics read it, become born again. Catholics read it, become born again. Muslims read it, become born again. These are ones we've just heard about, okay? The people, we have had families buy it for every single family member. We have doctors buying it, put in every single individual waiting room, and they walk in and patients are reading it. We've had people at drug rehab clinics get it for every single person going through drug rehab. We've had employers buy it for every employee. And just the fruit of putting something solid in front of somebody, loaded with scripture, once you prove the Bible is true, man, 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 we got to get back to God's word and knowing that word and preaching that word.
One heartbeat away, your journey into eternity. Our hearts are going to beat about 100,000 times today and 100,000 times tomorrow and the next day. 10 out of 10 people, though, will experience their last heartbeat. Friends, where will you spend eternity? Mark, I shared with our listeners a few days ago, I think if I get to heaven and in the bosom of Abraham, if I look down into the pits of hell, if I see a child, a grandchild, a loved one, a friend, or a neighbor, I'll weep through eternity. I do not want to experience that. I want to have the wherewithal. I want to have the knowledge. I want to have the confidence to share the gospel. Friends, I recommend that you get a copy of One Heartbeat Away, that you read it, that you use the stories, you memorize, just learn the scriptures, write out your testimony, but share the good news, share the gospel with somebody today. Mark, in closing, there may be somebody that's listening right now that wants to witness to somebody, but they don't know how, and there may be a listener that wants to be witnessed to, and they're just waiting. Can you speak to both right now in closing?
Definitely. The thing to think about, I told the church on Sunday, Terry, is that you have absolutely no right to keep Jesus Christ to yourself. None. We've like created this right to keep Jesus to ourselves, but it is not in the Bible anywhere. We have the biblical right to go tell lost people about Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, everything in our spirit should want to do that. Very easy. You can just tell people, you ever taken the good person test before? They go, no, what is that? And just to the listeners out there, you ever told one lie before? And one lie to a holy God makes you a liar. You ever stole something before? Stealing one thing, cheating on a test in school, you stole an answer off someone else's test, officially makes you a thief before Almighty God. You ever lusted in your heart before? Looked at pornography one single time, you've lusted for somebody that is not yours. That's the same as adultery, Jesus says. Angry with anybody? Anger without cause is the same as murder, Jesus says. He's checking insides as well as outsides. But liars, thieves, adulterers, and murderers before a holy God will be guilty. And you will be choosing hell instead of heaven. But the good news, the great news, the best news ever given to this universe, if you want to repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and know Him as Savior, and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, become born again. It says the Spirit of God will take the blood of Jesus and wash you as pure and as white as snow. Erase all your sins. Come on, this is the best thing that's ever happened to the universe. And if we could take a simple lottery ticket to win $1 million, why wouldn't you take what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? And then He rose from the dead. Muhammad didn't do it. Buddha didn't do it. Confucius didn't do it. Jesus did it. He's the only answer for this life and the only answer for the life to come.
It's easy to know Jesus Christ. If you're running and running and running and you can't find God, just stop and turn around. He's right there. He wants to love you. He wants to save you right now. Just accept Jesus Christ. Find a body of believers. If you need a free Bible, call me, 713-335-3400. Just say, Terry, I'd like to have a free Bible. It's a pocket-sized New Testament. It's in leather. It's the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. If you just say, Terry, send me a new Bible, give me your name, your address, spell everything twice. I won't add you to any database. I won't even open the box. I won't even unwrap the Bible. I won't write any name in it. I will send it to you. If you know someone that does not have a Bible, this is a New Testament pocket size. It's too small print for my old tired eyes, but it just might be right for you. 713-335-3400. We'll have Mark back in future days, future weeks, to talk about his great One Heartbeat Away, and we'll give away copies then. Mark Cahill, God bless you. You are a great man of God.
Thank you, Terry. You're a light in the darkness. Keep letting it shine.